We are reading this morning from two passages from the Gospel according to Luke. The first from Luke chapter 2 and the second from Luke chapter 12. In Luke 2, we read there from verse 25 up to verse 35. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have been prepared in the presence of all people, and a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And then in Luke chapter 12, from verse 49, "I have come to cast fire upon earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." What is your first thoughts when you think about Christ? God's love? Salvation? Grace? Perhaps one of the scenes of Jesus' life or ministry? What is the initial thoughts regarding Christ in the Gospel of Luke? More importantly, what is Christ's own thoughts about his ministry? One of the main themes or main thoughts as you start reading the Gospel according to Luke is a thought of salvation. If we look at chapter 1, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, she bursts out in this eulogy, in this song. And in Luke 1 verse 47, she refers to God being her Savior. A little later, when John the Baptist is born, his father Zechariah also sings a song. And in this song, he refers time and again to the salvation and the redemption of his people. For instance, he says in the start of this song in Luke 1, verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord of the God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." The next verse, "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us." A little later in verse 71, "Salvation from our enemies." Again in verse 77, "To give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins." So also there in the temple, we find Anna and Simeon. And Anna, when she sees the child Jesus, she also talks to people about this child, talking about the fact that he will bring redemption of Jerusalem. Luke 2, verse 58. And so also Simeon, when he takes Jesus into his arms, he talks about the salvation which God has prepared in chapter 2, verse 13. And this redemption or the salvation has two focal points. And we see these two focal points, especially in the song of Zechariah in chapter 1. In verse 71, it talks about salvation from our enemies. And in a certain sense, this is a political correct statement for the time and era in which they lived. The Roman soldiers occupied Israel, and people expected a savior from Rome. And so, when Zechariah talks about the one that is here to save from the enemies, you can almost hear the crowds starting to rejoice, clapping hands, singing songs. Salvation is at hand. Then he goes on. He says, whoa, not only from our enemies. Verse 77, he says, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. That's very ironic, because when you are being oppressed, you don't think of your own sins as being saved from. You only think about the sins of your oppressors. We need salvation from them, not from ourselves. And yet the salvation of which Luke talks is not the political correct type of salvation, but of the salvation from sin. And yet this salvation is not welcomed by all. We see this in the words of both Simeon as well as Christ during his earthly ministry. We hear Simeon when he talks about the coming of Christ. He says in verse 34 that this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. Not everybody is going to welcome him. Some will, yes. Others will not. It says in verse 55 that this child, and what will happen during this child's life, especially at his death, will be to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And so also Christ, during his earthly ministry, talking to his disciples, talks about the fact that he has come to cast fire upon the earth. And he says, I have not come to grant peace, Luke 12, verse 51, but to bring division, to bring the sword. And the fact is that the gospel of salvation in Christ alone divides people. It is a given. We see this in Christ's earthly ministry. At the beginning of his ministry, crowds of thousands of people followed him. As long as he gave them bread and fish to eat and healed their sick and cast out demons and did sensational stuff, people would have a story to tell. So where were you last week? Oh no, I followed Jesus there around the Sea of Galilee and we saw him cast out demons. Wow! And then Jesus starts to teach the people. He talks, for instance, in John 6 about him being the bread of life. And at the point he comes in Capernaum, he taught there in Capernaum. And we read in John 6 verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And so what we see is a lot of people leave Jesus, so much so that Jesus turns to the 12 and says, do you not also want to leave me? We see this in the early church. Peter, writing to godly wives, talk about the fact that not all of their husbands are believers. Some believers, or some husbands, will not believe in Christ, while the wives will believe in Christ. We see this division. Even today, our own country is divided on this subject. Not all of South Africa are believers. We see this in families. We see this amongst friends. We see this even amongst colleagues. But not all follow Christ. Because the gospel of salvation is a gospel of fire. It is a gospel of the sword. It is a gospel that divides. But it's also a gospel that reveals the heart of men. And so, Simeon in Luke 2, verse 55, makes the statement, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What Simeon is referring to here is the crucifixion, the death of Christ on the cross. And what would happen around the cross, what would happen leading up to the cross, that would reveal the hearts and the thoughts of men. Hearts would be exposed in that very moment. And so we see For instance, Mary's heart at the foot of the cross. We see her devotion as she never leaves her son. But we also see the hearts of the disciples. These men that professed Christ. One betrays him. The others run away. We see the heart of Peter. This man that with so much boldness and courage, the evening before Jesus is arrested, says, "Even if everybody leaves you, I will never forsake you." Even he, when he is confronted with, "Oh, but weren't you also with Jesus of Nazareth?" He denies Christ three times. You see, the hearts of the leaders. The high priest who wants to preserve the sanctity of the temple is the one who defiles the sanctity of life by condemning an innocent man. We see the heart of the Roman soldiers who obey the orders of Pilate, yet at the same time violates the justice system of the Romans by condemning an innocent man. You see the heart of Pilate, who wants to keep his job, who wants to keep the comforts of his job, and he is willing to sentence an innocent man to death. This man from backward Nazareth in Galilee, he rather have him suffer discomfort than Pilate suffering discomfort and losing his job. We see the hearts of the people. This same crowd that just a few days prior called out and rejoiced, "Blessed be him who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Son of David." This same crowd that now calls for the crucifixion of the one that came in the name of the Lord. Hearts are exposed at the foot of the cross. But what about us? What about your heart? What does a cross expose about you? Where would you have been in that moment? Next to Mary, at the foot of the cross, hearing the mockery of those passing by? Perhaps next to Peter, warming himself next to the fire, there at the house of Caiaphas. Or perhaps with the crowd, next to the road, passing by, mocking the one that hanging in the middle cross. Where would you have been? What does the cross expose about your heart? Because see, the cross reveals. It reveals our own sinful depravity. It reveals our need for salvation. It reveals God's justice. When God closes creation with this veil of darkness, pouring out His justice and His wrath upon His own beloved Son for you and me. And at the same time, it reveals there is the Savior of the world that bears the judgment for the sins of His people. It reveals the grace of God in Christ. It reveals salvation. It reveals hope. Hope for those who are lost. Hope for people like you and me. The gospel of the cross of salvation in Christ alone is a gospel that divides. It always has, and it always will. And yet we are called to proclaim this gospel. The gospel of salvation in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. Nothing more, but also nothing less. In the words of Paul to Timothy, proclaim the word in season as well as out of season. Which word? This word. That there is only salvation and hope in Christ alone. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is, have you come to the foot of the cross? And has this gospel of salvation in Christ bring you to your knees in repentance? For if you are not on the side of Christ, you are against Him. And Christ warns, I have come to pour out a fire, to light a fire on earth. That fire that will, in its full extent, be poured out on humanity at the return of Christ. And so the only thing that can save us from that fire is the one that pours out that fire, namely Christ Himself. For in Him alone is salvation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider the cross, and as we consider the fact that You have given Your only Son for the salvation of sinners, we stand in awe before You for this great mercy. For we did not deserve Your grace. Nor did we deserve Your Son hanging on a cross, carrying our judgment. And yet, You have given this. You have given Him freely to us. Oh, may it be that we, in the words of Paul, says that we will not boast in upon ourselves, but we will only boast in the cross of Christ. For in the cross of Christ and in the gospel of salvation in Christ alone, there is hope. And so give us the zeal to proclaim this gospel, even though it divides, and even though people will harden their hearts against it. We know that your word is powerful and living and able to save. And so we pray that you may establish your kingdom through the proclamation of your word. And that you may humble us as instruments in your hand in the working out of your plan of salvation in this world. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.